that God is your refuge and strength, because he is. And, you know, not only did God confirm that word, this word specifically to me through K-Love, you know, I read Christian romance stories, adventure stories that are set in history. So I learn the history, and it's all about relationships. I love to read about relationships and how they unfold and develop. The last two stories I read, they were people that were in trouble and in problems, and they said this scripture in the book. God is, the last two books, God is my refuge and strength. They were speaking and declaring that over their lives in order to overcome the very difficult situation that they were in. One was in a boat that was drowning. Oh, is that backwards? And the other one was in a fire, and they both came out. So all the promises of God in him are. So when we're in the valley of doubt, are they still yes and amen? Yes, they are. The Lord actually gave me this message 2 weeks ago and gave me the whole thing and downloaded it. I was already ready, so I just had to do a little tweaking this week, and I was grateful to God for that. And I am very proud of my husband. There's no one that knows more than me how much work he put in to become a spiritual director and what it cost him in his life and his time. And but God has done an amazing thing in his life. So we, each of us, can come into a place with God and say, do what you got to do. Like what Steve said, that's a beautiful testimony. Because, yes, and I was sharing with the ladies on Friday night, although they didn't really like it, but I was sharing something that the Lord had done in my heart. And you know what? We have to be honest before God in order to receive. We have to give up our wretchedness in order to receive his holiness. That's just the truth. That's all there is to it. It's not a big deal. We have to give up our natural in order to receive supernatural. That's just how it goes. So, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this word. I pray, Lord, that I can deliver it in the way that you gave it to me. That was just so amazing and still is unfolding. And such an amazing word from your holy book. So I pray that right now we would all open our hearts, because I believe what you said to me was that if they hear this word, they will come into a new realm of overcoming. In Jesus' name, amen. I will tell you that I shared a testimony with both of my sons about what happened to me when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what happened to me until a couple of years later, but I went into a trance and I was up in the heavenly realm. I was in heaven. I heard a heavenly song. I heard the voice of many waters. I was up there. So what happened? I shared it with them because they both love music. And I wanted them to understand why I trained them not to hear a worldly song, even though they are both musicians. So anyway, also specifically released Aaron to go find his destiny. However God does that, it's up to him. But I know that God is in his heart and that he is walking to find something. Something he's looking for. Anyway, he's going to find it. And God has already found him. So anyway, he's doing very well. But yesterday and today, through some of the devotionals that I was reading, the Lord had me read Revelation 19. And I'm going to read a little bit of it because it's about the song. It's the song that I heard. And you need to hear this song. So we're going to take a few minutes while I'm reading this scripture. I want you to just ask the Lord, if you want to, that you could hear the song. Because it's going on in heaven all the time. It's the song of the Lord, it's the song of praise. It's a song that's sung by the heavenly choir, and it will change your life. Revelation 19. I heard a sound like massed choirs in heaven singing, "Hallelujah! The salvation and glory and power are God's." I'm not going to read the whole thing because that's not what my message is. From the throne came a shout, a command, "Praise our God, all ye his saints and servants, all you who fear him." And then I heard the sound of massed choirs, what sounded like the shout of a vast throng, like the boom of many pounding waters, and like the roar of terrific and mighty peals of thunder, exclaiming, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord, for now the Lord our God, the omnipotent, the all-ruler, reigns. Let us celebrate, let us rejoice, and let us give him the glory. The marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready." That's who we are. We are the bride of Christ. The Lord has been unfolding this to me over the last couple weeks. I keep singing that song about the bridegroom rejoicing over the bride and singing Zephaniah 3:17. It's also in other places. You can't complain, and you can't feel sad, and you can't walk in the flesh if you're walking in the spirit. Are you hearing me? If you are in a place of rejoicing and worshiping the King, then nothing can touch you. Are you hearing me? It doesn't matter what happens on the earth. It doesn't matter what set of circumstances you find yourself in. Acknowledging that you're having a problem with something, confess, repent, and move right back into grace. And just sing that heavenly song. Because once you hear that song and once you start to sing, you know, it's not about your emotions. Although your emotions will catch up with your praise. Did you hear that? Your emotions and your body will catch up with your praise. So there's times I don't feel so wonderful, but I start praising God and my emotions come under the submission. And this is what I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago. I said, you need to get more in touch with the Father that created you, our Abba. Take advantage of him and his presence because he is always there. You begin to sing and begin to worship and begin to thank him. Your spirit man begins to move and stir. And it will rise up above. You can't, they were telling me, "Oh, I'm very sensitive." I said, "Yeah, well, so am I. Excuse me. You know me." It was one of my kids. I said, "But you know, I've come to a place I'm not willing in any point of my life to allow my emotions to run me. I allow the Spirit of God filling up my spirit man." If you can get the picture of your spirit man being filled with God and your body and your soul and your spirit filled with God underneath in submission to that praise and that place of worship, then you will be able to overcome anything, right? This message is about covenant promises. Covenant and promise are the same. But I don't know, for me, covenant always carries a little more weight because I always think about God. God's covenant and his being on the other side of the covenant. See, it's not like, you know, myself and someone else making a promise, a man, which, you know, we mess up sometimes. We say, "Oh, we're going to do this," and then we don't. But God never, never fails. He never walks away from his covenant. He never breaks his covenant. You read about an oath and a promise. His covenant is made through that. So this message came out of Psalm 111:5, which I started to meditate on. I've been praying about provision, praying about seeing God afar, and the Lord started to speak to me about what provision is. Provision. What it is he gives me a vision or a word, and that's what I can carry into his presence when I'm in his presence and say, "You said this to me then, and I'm expecting you to bring the provision and fulfill the promise, the covenant that you made with me." Now, I've studied all the covenants. I've taught you all the Old Testament covenants. But there's a new covenant. And Jesus is the mediator of that new covenant. So, Psalm 111:5 says, "He has given food and provision." See, if you're flowing and moving, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, if you read Galatians 5, you will see all what the flesh is, and you also see what the fruit of the Spirit is. Because God is working in us his fruit all the time. That's the reason why we go through things. Why we do have to give up the natural and come into the spiritual. Because we want to manifest the presence of God. We want to manifest his fruit. That's also in Galatians 5. So I'm going to be talking about one specific fruit, although they are all one and the same. There's only one basic fruit, which is his presence, the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to talk about patience. I knew somebody was going to say that. I thought it was going to be you, but okay. We talked a lot on Friday night. So you know what? We have to encourage each other. We have to come together. I was sharing this on Friday night. You know, we speak to one another spirit to spirit. Pastor Roy and I speak to one another spirit to spirit. When we start moving in the flesh, we apologize to each other. And then we say, oh, I wasn't quite walking with God there. But we encourage one another in the spirit realm. Our spirits are connected. And we speak into each other's spirits the words of God. If you have a friend that does that, it's a wonderful thing. He has given food and provision to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. I believe this is real food and real provision. It's not just a pie in the sky promise. It's a reality. He has given food and provisions to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. He will remember his covenant forever and imprint it on his mind. Now, if you think about the mind of God, the mind of Christ, think that his covenant is imprinted on his mind. So, I looked up covenant, I looked up promise, and then yesterday, the Holy Spirit started to talk to me about imprint. What's an imprint? It's a stencil or a permanent tattoo. It's something that's written that doesn't move. It's always there. So, God has imprinted on his own mind, the mind of Christ, his covenant promise. The promise is that he's given to us. So it's pretty solid, isn't it? So we can say, your covenant says this and that, and Jesus, you are the mediator of that covenant. Therefore, I'm speaking and declaring that you will bring provision to my house, because that's what your word says. So there's also an imprinting that I didn't really study a lot because it was kind of a last-minute thing. But there's an imprinting that changes the DNA. So, of course, that kind of got hold of me because isn't that what God does when he comes inside of our hearts? He changes our DNA. I don't know about you, but sometimes I surprise myself that I don't act in a certain way. And I am, whoa, who's that? That was pretty good. But it was God, you know, God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure, right? So a covenant is a contract or an agreement, commitment, a guarantee, a promise, an assurance, an oath, an agreement. So Pastor Roy's been talking about remembering and reminding yourself, and, you know, we have to do that in the night seasons. We have to remind ourselves, and we need to meditate. I just wanted to reiterate again, you cannot decide to come into a place where you are going to be in contemplation. You cannot make that happen. You can meditate and you can set aside time and you can sit with the Lord, but he is the one that brings you into contemplation. I remember many years ago reading this book by James Gall about prophetic, and there was a woman, Madame Guyon, who was in the prison. And I remember reading about her testimony, thinking, wow, you know, she's in prison. How did she handle that? You know, how did she live in that prison? Because she had declared that she could actively engage and hear the presence of God and hear God talk to her. That's why she was in prison. She's Catholic. And they were very upset about that. So they put her in prison. Well, she shared a scripture then. The entrance of your word brings light. The entrance of your word unfolds the light. So I started to meditate on that scripture. And then she said further on, it doesn't really matter what scripture gets you into that contemplative place, because once you get into the Spirit of God, you enter into the heavenly realm, God takes over. So that's really what we're looking for. We're looking for God to take over. So what's the covenant or the promise that God has made with us, his people? There's one specific covenant that covers the whole thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that also includes Israel to come into the saving knowledge of the Messiah. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. So he has undone that, not undone it, but fulfilled that covenant in himself. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant. That's why he had to bring a new covenant. It's the same thing with Adam and Eve. That's why he had to bring Jesus, because they broke their promise. But God didn't break his promise, did he? And when God made the covenant with Abraham, he put Abraham to sleep, and he's the one that walked in between the pieces. So he made a covenant with himself, the oath and the promise, that's it. God made a covenant with himself. So we can come into what God did with himself, because we're his body, right? Are you following me? Okay, good. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. That's what God promised. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And in that day, he says, a new covenant has made the first obsolete. Hebrews 8, 7 to 13. This new covenant or promise to us is that he has put his law in our minds. So, all that scurrying, mouse scurrying that goes on in our heads, we do not have to live there. We can continue to sow the seeds of the law of God and trust that he is going to bring that law into a reality in our hearts. But it takes time sometimes, right? We have to actively choose not to walk in the natural, but walk in the spirit realm. And we got to leap over the wall and run through a troop because we love Jesus, not for any other reason. Not for the person that may or may not be doing the right thing for us, but because we love Jesus. We want to do what he has told us to do. We want to be walking in the instruction of the Most High. The new covenant that he has put his, when we come to Jesus, that's why it's important when you pray with somebody that they say yes to Jesus and not to the universe or some other flim-flammy, vague. It's got to be Jesus, because Jesus has to be acknowledged. His name has to be acknowledged in order to bring about the reality of his presence in our hearts. One of our neighbors came to visit the lady across the street. She lived a couple of, can't go through the story, but I have told you this testimony a number of times. She was living with the guy. I brought her to the Lord, and I told her that she should not be living with him, so she left him. He ended up taking a total downward spiral, drunk, everything. I don't know exactly what happened to her. I really haven't sat and talked to her, but I also brought three of her two children and her stepdaughter, what ended up not to be, but her daughter, her boyfriend's daughter, to the Lord. They got baptized. Three of them got baptized in the Holy Ghost. One ended up total renegade. The other one married somebody that was Catholic and ended up coming into the vows of the Catholic Church with her husband. And the other one, who is this lady's son, married a Baptist woman. And he's very actively engaged in the church. He's got four children. He's doing really well. I saw him about 8 or 9 years ago. He came to visit, and he was thanking me for that day that I spent with the three of them in the back room, because I had done a 5-day Bible club in my neighborhood, and they came. And they, all three of them, got saved. So he was thanking God. So this lady is from Texas. She just moved 3 months ago to a little house next to her son, like about a half hour away. And I know she's struggling because they're Christians. And she has definitely not been walking in what God called her to many years ago. But I know she's saved. So she ran into me. She ran into Pastor Roy. She ran into Ariel and Chris. Just, you know, this continuous God reminding her. So I don't know if I'm going to get really to talk to her before she leaves, but I'm praying for her. Many years ago. So if she had followed the Lord in what he was calling her to, she would have a totally different life right now. But she didn't. So there's choices. We all have choices. So Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant. Hebrews 12:24. He lives in us and we live in him. The covenant that God has on his mind, that's Hebrews 12:24, is a sure covenant, and the Holy Spirit is a guarantee that he will fulfill that covenant. So what happens in our minds the minute that we start to speak and declare this? Oh, but this, and oh, but that, and oh, but this one. And no, no, I don't want to hear that. That's the enemy. That's your flesh. That's the voice of other people. There are voices talking all the time. Who are you listening to? There's only one voice of God. He's the Spirit of Truth. All the rest of them are liars. And I mean liars. Don't listen. So even what it says, even what you think, even what you're seeing with these eyes, what are the eyes of God showing you in the situation and the circumstance? He will undertake to fulfill his promises. So what do we need to do to walk in these covenant blessings? Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." A promise from the Word, the promise being Christ, but then not promise from the Word. If you find one that suits your situation or even doesn't, sometimes God, recently again, I was having trouble going to sleep, and I said, "Lord, I need a word." He gave me a word. I had no idea it had anything to do with what I was feeling, but the minute I read it, what I was feeling was lifted. So I said, "Thank you, Lord. Whatever that was, thank you." Because he loves us, and he does not want us walking around in anxiety. So we have those promises, and we need to focus on those promises when we're in the midst of a situation that doesn't look like God is answering our cries. But he does. A promise is the seedbed for a miracle. The Lord gave me a word in January, which I'm still praying over every situation, healing, health, and miracles. And he said, and not necessarily in that order. So sometimes it's miracles. Healing, health. Sometimes it's miracles, health, healing. Whatever it is, those three elements, I've looked them up, I've prayed, I've studied. You know, God heals me every day. Every day he heals me. And he continues. So, a promise of God is a seedbed for a miracle, because if you ask him for a promise and he gives you a promise, then you grab a hold of that promise and you meditate on that promise and you speak that promise and you declare that promise. And you proclaim that promise until you see it come to pass. This is the prophetic in between where the patience is worked in us. So we have to let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, complete, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing means completely mature. Does it mean that everything is perfect in your life? No, it means that you know how to handle God's promises and how to receive from him, so that you can walk in victory. That's so amazing about that song. Actually, Elizabeth, take courage. She said, "Oh, you got to listen to this song. This song is..." So I don't listen to everything. I just don't have the time. But I listened to that song that night, and I cried through the whole song. I said, "We're doing this song." You know what? Triumph and victory. Triumph and victory, no matter what it looks like. Triumph and victory. In the waiting, in the patient part, where that patience is being worked, where you're saying, "Okay, God, I don't understand this, but I'm trusting you," is where his character is formed in you. That's where you really come to the place where you realize who he is, who he is. So if you don't need him, listen, I'm no different than the next person. If everything is all wonderful, I'm not the one that's crying and screaming in the back room. But when something, there's problems, oh my God, you can hear me crying and screaming in the back room. But I've learned to give God thanks. I've learned to praise him. I've learned to worship him no matter what. Came to a place of stability in my life, no matter what. No matter what, I'm going to worship you, Jesus. Sounds silly, but I think about my encouragement. Thomas, when I think about people who are being persecuted and are in prison and being killed for the gospel, am I going to say I'm a follower of Jesus if somebody has a gun to my head? If they're going to pull my... I always think about this, having your fingernails pulled out. But you know what? That's happening. That's happening today. So I've not suffered in any way, shape, or form close to that. So I'm grateful, and I do. I thank him for the provision that he's made and what he'll continue to make. So patience is Calm endurance. Calm endurance. Not screaming endurance. Calm endurance. An uncomplaining nature. Not complaining. Uncomplaining nature. So that's how you can tell pretty much if patience is at its work in you. How? Yeah. Diligent application. Tireless stamina. Woo! Tireless stamina. Some water. Tireless stamina. The ability or strength to continue despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. I mean, none of us are starving, are we? None of us are living on the street with no home. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ability to resist. What are you resisting? Yes, and what else? Selfishness, yes. Oh, I got a great scripture. I wasn't going to read that, but maybe I will. That's right, the devil. It says resist the devil. Withstand against the devil. Pastor Roy shared it before. Put your armor on. Don't forget, you're in a war. He wants you dead. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants people to look at you, hey, they're Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. And then the enemy will lie to you and say, look at that, you failed miserably. What kind of Christian are you? Well, I'm one that fails miserably and is leaning on the strength and the power of the living God. That even when I fall, righteous man falls seven times and gets up again. Oh, now she's preaching. Okay, I am going to read this since you mentioned selfishness. My counsel is this. This is Galatians 5:16. This is the word the Lord gave me. Live freely, animated and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. Do we have compulsions of Galatians 5. You want me to read it again? Okay. My counsel is this. This is Galatians 5:16. Live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feed the compulsions of selfishness. For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the free spirit. Just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness, these two ways of life are antithetical, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? The desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. Flesh is godless human nature. Anyway, that's not what the message is going, but I guess God wanted me to bring that in again, so here it is. We're talking about Friday night. Okay. The ability to suffer hardship or adversity. How is this patience brought forth? Oh, James 1, 2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience, perseverance. And I said this already, but let patience or perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I remember when God, see, I have been in the Word for so many years, and different scriptures that I meditated on and focused on and worshiped the Lord through and had him open up. Like, this is one. I lived in this verse for a couple months. I want to be not lacking anything. That's what I told them. I want to be, oh, don't pray that. I want to be not lacking anything. Let me tell you, he started doing something. Whoa. But I got to the place where he said, you are mature in your thinking. So it was worth it. It was about 3 months of... But you know, I learned to worship and praise God no matter what I was feeling. I will tell you that I learned patience through raising 4 children. That's how I learned it. I watched my kids and I laughed. I said, oh, I'm glad it's not me. I remember that. And I smile at them. It's fine. You'll get through it. It'll be fine. Benjamin and Elaine's little Bash was not sleeping, and I told her very clearly, let the baby cry, but don't, you know, told her. Sarah gave them advice, Ariel gave them advice. Then she went to the doctor, and the doctor gave them advice. And they still could not let the baby cry. They just really had a hard time. And the baby, he was like a dead baby walking. When I went over and held him, I said, go out to dinner. That baby fell asleep in my arms and did not move. I mean, he was so tired because he was overtired and overfed. Oh, I should be quiet. Anyway, new parents, what? No, new parents don't know what they're doing. I didn't. And even after the fourth one, they're all different. So you got to ask, why does God do that? But why does he, Gail? Why does he do that? He wants, that's exactly, he wants you, he puts you in a place so you have to rely on him. He wants you to rely on him. Now I look at my Sarah, she's got 6 kids, and I do, I have a little chortle to myself. Because she was my most stubborn child. So here she is, she's got 6 kids. I have to laugh because I have 4. I said, she knows. She learned how to worship. She learned how to work, you know, over the last year, really coming to a place of worship. Ariel, too. Mom, I was driving home. It was pouring, and I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? It's pouring. I can't even see. I started singing. Lord, thank you for keeping me safe. Thank you, Lord, for stopping the rain. Thank you, God. Which work? And she said, within 2 minutes, the rain stopped. So I said, welcome to our world. See, because when you're walking in the Spirit, God answers what you need. He will send you what you need. And if it doesn't come in a way that you think it was supposed to, it doesn't mean that God didn't answer. You say, what are you doing? I thought you were going to do this. Well, no, I'm working over here. Okay. In patience, we can inhabit God. We can inhabit God in patience. Whatever is in heaven, you see, you're on the earth in the spirit realm. Patience. God help me. One of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience is calm endurance and uncomplaining nature. I read that already. God, I had it twice. God will work this patience in us since it's the fruit of the Spirit. Philippians 2:13, for it is God himself whose power creates. It is God himself whose power creates. Whose power? Your power? It is God himself who is amplified. It is God himself whose power creates within you the desire to do his gracious will. So, how do you come into the place where you're going to obey God's will? This is Philippians 2:13. How do you do that? You give up your will. Your mind, your will, and your emotions is your soul realm. You have to give that. That's your flesh nature. That's your natural man. You've got to give that to God. Submit it. And also brings about God himself, whose power creates within you the desire to do his gracious will, also brings about the accomplishment of that desire. So who is the one that brings about the fruit? It's God. But we have to submit to him, don't we? In our hearts, in his name, according to his word, in reverence, in agreement with the promise, is where and when this patience is worked into our being, and the reality of the character of God is etched on our minds. And worked, his fruit is worked into our lives. Remember that his covenant is etched on his mind. So let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. James 1:4. In every given moment, God is speaking and sharing his heart. In every given moment. Every moment he's talking. Screaming. Oh, no. Talks very, very loudly sometimes, and sometimes very quietly. Are we listening? We mature in the waiting, the listening. His very glory is revealed to us in the waiting. Hebrews 6:12. Do not give up. Be like the people who get what God has promised. You know, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there are portraits of men and women that love God. If you study their lives and how they lived and you model yourself after that, you can walk and step into that picture, right? And the New Testament as well. All of those men and women that followed Jesus and Jesus himself can step into the portrait. Do not give up. Be like the people who get what God has promised. They believe God and keep on believing for a long time. Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews 6:11 and 12. And now I want each of you to extend the same intensity toward a full-bodied hope. What is the most wonderful thing that we could use our energy and our efforts towards? A full-bodied hope. And keep at it till the finish. Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. And here we go. Hebrews 6:11 and 12, the same verse. The Lord gave it to me in three different versions to share. And we desire for each one of you to show the same diligence all the way through. All the way through. Do you jump out of the boat in the middle of the river? Sometimes you may want to. We desire for each one of you to show the same diligence all the way through so as to realize and enjoy the full assurance of hope until the end. In order that you may not grow, now you're listening? God loves us so much. Disinterested. And become spiritual sluggards. God does not want us to be spiritual sluggards. Some of us are going through more intense trials right now because maybe we have a tendency to be lazy and not press into God. That doesn't mean God is punishing you. That means God is calling you. Calling you closer. Enjoy the full assurance of hope until the end, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards. If you think about the parable of the sower and all those seeds that were sown, and who didn't have it, and who didn't, and who did. And then we want to be the hundredfold. We want that hundredfold return, right? On our soil. We don't want to be on the wayside. We don't want to be in the thorns. We want our ground clean and... Become imitators, behaving as those who through faith, by their leaning of their entire personality on God and Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. So faith and patience. By the practice of patient endurance and waiting. Trusting. Even when suffering. Oh, I thought we weren't supposed to suffer because we're Christians and we have Jesus. Lie. We are going to suffer. In this world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Practice of patient endurance and waiting, even when suffering, are now inheriting the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. Through faith and patience. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Our primary purpose is to be like Jesus. His fruit displayed in us is our manifestation of his nature on the earth. Yes? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. He produces it in us. Now listen, how it is produced is a relational issue between you and God. He will allow you to come to a place where you say, what are you doing? What is going on? And then he'll open up, pop the cork on the bottle and say, you see this? This is not pleasing to me. And I've allowed you to come into this place so you can see that and repent of it and get free so that you'll be free. That's what God wants. He wants us free, doesn't he? How it's produced is a relational issue between you and God. A God who keeps his covenant, his promises, in his own mind. And we are on his mind, the mind of God, the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. We Christians actually do have within us a portion of the very thoughts and mind of God. How big is your portion? The Lord is your portion, right? Psalm 16, the Lord is my portion. So you want to have the whole Christ. You want eyes to see the whole Christ and be able to walk in the reality of the whole living Jesus. So how much? How much? How big is your portion? It is up to us. It is up to us to discipline ourselves to think his thoughts. To think and meditate on his mind, his word, his name, his covenant. Today you are sowing the fruits for tomorrow. So if today you're not feeling so wonderful and you're thanking and praising God and feeling good, tomorrow morning, that praise and thanksgiving is going to be in your spirit and give you what you need as you put your armor on to face the next day. You want to be an overcomer no matter what. I remember the last mammography that I had, and then they told me that I needed to get an ultrasound, and I knew why, because I do have cysts in my breast, so I know that, so I just pray that they remain good. So I'm sitting in there, I'm getting more and more nervous, sitting on the table, more and more nervous. Then she comes in and she takes the ultrasound. And then she leaves. I want to get the doctor. I was shaking. And then I look over at the sonogram thing, and I actually see the picture, and I see the cysts. And I got more scared. So then I turned around. The Lord said, don't look at that sonogram. Look at me. So I looked at him. I said, Lord, there's no cancer in my body. You told me that. I'm 10, 15, whatever you... There's no cancer in my body. There's no cancer in my body. So what? They're just cysts. There's no cancer in my body. And I started to speak and declare, but I was scared. And I just started to speak that and declare that and sat there for like 15, 20 minutes. She left me sitting in there. And I just worshiped God. I was praising, singing. She walks in. She goes, okay, you're free to go. But see, I went through that process. I went through that process. We want to think and meditate on his mind, his word, his name, his covenant, because we have the mind of Christ. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, he will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. It's amplified. Trust in the Lord always, for in the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength. God is my refuge and strength. Hebrews 6:13-20. Now here we have, and you ladies know, and I did share for the men too, God gave me an open vision of the veil, and the veil being rent and being able to go in particular situation. But I have applied that vision to every part of my life since I had that open vision, because it's a reality. I could go through the veil and go into the Holy of Holies and be with the Lord in his presence and get healed, delivered. Jesus is delivering all of us all the time. It's not like all of a sudden you're saved and you never need deliverance again. We need deliverance from the evil thoughts we had yesterday or this morning. So we got to press on. The forerunner has gone on before us and became our high priest. And we have this unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right into the very presence of God. We have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul that reaches farther and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus, will you mediate this for me? The reality is within the veil, in the secret place where he creates within us himself. His covenant is on our minds and on his mind. Faith and patience always inherit the promises. It is the only combination that provides us with a guarantee that we'll release the provision at the required time. The very presence of God releasing fulfillment of his very purpose for our lives. Sometimes pride will come in and say, oh, I don't need that. I'm fine. I'm good. Well, you know what? That's a lie, because we depend on the Lord in every moment of our lives. We have to cry out to Jesus in every moment of our lives and ask him for help. And that's what makes us good believers, right? Not looking like something this or that or the other, but worshiping the presence of God. So we can enjoy, listen, we can enjoy the process, our journey. We can enjoy the process. We can enjoy our journey when we know that God is faithful to fulfill the promises and that he is in the in-between time where patience is worked. He is just as powerfully alive and in us in that in-between time, in that in-between time as when he fulfills the promise. Jesus never fails. Love never fails. Abba, Father who loves us, never fails. Never fails. 1 Corinthians 13. He fulfills the promise always, our Abba. So, what voice are you listening to? What voice are you believing? What voice are you clinging to? What voice, whether it's the word or it's your flesh? It's really a very simple thing. And if your flesh is not entertaining, then you need to bring it into the cross, all of it. Say, no, I'm going to walk in the spirit. I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm not going to feed the compulsions of my selfishness. Every situation has a voice. Galatians 6:9, then let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap. If we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. What does God say to us? Be strong and have good courage and do it. So, he has given food and provision to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. He will remember his covenant forever and imprint it on his mind. That's Psalm 111:5. And I will read what possibly you could think of what is our response to him. Because we do need to respond to him. So maybe while I'm reading the scripture, if there's something God is bringing up into your mind and saying, just content. When you snore, it means you're content. Psalm 103:17. God's love, I'm going to read it in the Amplified and the Message. God's love, though, is ever and always. Eternally present. How present? Eternally present, ever present help in time of need. Eternally present to all who fear him. Making everything right. We can trust, even when it looks like it's not right, that he's going to make everything right. Making everything right for them and their children. As they follow his covenant ways. It's not just all on God. We have to follow his covenant ways. And remember to do whatever he said. God has set his throne in the heavens, and he rules over us all. He is the king. Sometimes you just got to say, you're the king. You're the king over this situation. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the God of all hope and the Father of all mercy, in whom is no variableness, nor the shadow of turning. I do not want anything in my life, even though it appears that I might, that is outside of what God is giving me. I do not want anything in my life that you have not given me. The mercy and loving kindness of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting upon those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. And his righteousness is to children's children. That's my grandchildren. And my children. That's a promise I can take a hold of. To such as keep his covenant. Who are the covenant keepers? To such as keep his covenant. Now, what does it mean to keep his covenant? Hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it. And to those who earnestly remember his commandments, to do them, imprinting them on their hearts. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Amen. Father, we thank you. Even in this moment, Lord, I'm sure there were times during the message that our hearts were quickened and you might have put your finger on things. So I thank you for that. I thank you that you are the Holy Spirit, that you are the living God, that your ways are perfect and you are making me perfect. So I embrace your promises. I embrace your covenants. I embrace your grace and your mercy to walk through this life. I acknowledge that you are just as powerful in between, that you're my anchor. Even when after I've gotten into the boat and I'm going across, I don't understand what's going on. I'm not going to bail. I'm going to stay in the boat, and I'm going to trust in your power and presence until I get to the other side. And I'm going to rejoice with the same intensity when I get to the other side. So I thank you, Lord. Your word says that them was their mouth filled with laughter and their tongue with laughter and their tongue with singing. The Lord has done great things for us. So we trust you. I pray for your people today, Lord, that in the moving of your spirit this morning and this afternoon, Lord, that there will be a greater harvest of your fruit manifested in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.